The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to Unlikable Female Characters, the podcast featuring feminist thriller writers in conversation about women who don't give a damn if you like them. I'm Wendy Hurd, and I'm here with Lane Fargo.
Hello.
And Kristen Lapianca.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
You know, it's still 2020 somehow.
Somehow, it's still March 2020. Mm-hmm. It's not, but it feels like it.
It feels like it, yeah. Yeah, so the big thing that happened in my world this week is a fucking tornado hit my neighborhood in Chicago. It was crazy.
That is crazy. Have you ever had a tornado?
No, they're really rare in the city. And it was just like a small one, but it was, I was working on Monday afternoon and I got this like weather alert that said there was a tornado warning. And I'm from Ohio. So like, you know, Kristen,
right?
When you're from Ohio, you're kind of like, unless I can see it like coming directly in my face, like I'm not worried. Plus we live in a basement already. Like we have a garden unit. So I was just like, whatever. And kind of went about my business. And then like the sky turned black and the wind whipped up and I was like, oh, okay, shit. But it was so, it was really brief and I didn't even think it was that bad until we went out afterwards, like after the storm had passed to walk the dog, and there were just like all these trees ripped up by the root. There's a car a few doors down from us that was like basically smashed in half by a tree that fell directly on it. It was insane. Horrifying. Like they're still cleaning up, like all these streets were impassable. Just massive destruction. Really insane. I've never seen anything like that. And I was like, 2020, come on, like, where does it end?
Right, like, what's next? I mean, I don't even want to know. It's too much.
Yeah, I'm like, the plague of locusts is next. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. But what about you guys? What's going on?
Well, the news from here is that yesterday we celebrated one of my cat's 5th birthdays.
Oh,
and aww. We had a day long celebration, and we got them this, like, you know, those like cardboard scratching structures that exist. Target was selling one that was shaped like a pirate ship. Aww. So the cats have a pirate ship now and it's super cute.
Okay, you're gonna have to put a picture of that on the Unlikable Female Characters Twitter because the people
need to see.
We need this joy in our lives.
It is pretty amazing.
Well, I had a really interesting thing where I was laying in my bed one night at like 3 a.m. or something, and an earthquake happened, and I was like, okay. I mean, 2020, if you're going to give us the big one, it seems like the right moment. Like, that seems possible. But it wasn't the big one. It was like a 4 point something. So it was a shaker, but it wasn't like bad. So then the following week, we had taken it. And oh, by the way, the epicenter was really close to where I live. So then the next week, I had taken a trip down to San Diego, kind of north of San Diego, to like take a little beach weekend out of the city and try to stay away from people. But unfortunately, it was like the zombie apocalypse because no one was wearing masks and it ended up being like really stressful. Mm. But then there was an earthquake there.
That's just like your book.
At the same, yes, in the same, I was like, again, near the epicenter. And I was like, am I, what?
Same. It's you. You're causing them.
Because you have a book concept that's like that, right?
Yes, I have a book concept like this about a girl who thinks she might be starting earthquakes. And I was like, it's a sign. I have to write that book now. I have to finish that book.
Yeah. Oh my God. The universe is telling you something.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Or that's how I choose to interpret it. Are just all going to shit and we're going to have the big one.
Yeah. Or it's like the end of days. I mean, one or the other. I think those are the two options.
I mean, I think the end of days is a given with this year so far. Like, whatever else is going on, there, I mean, there could be many things happening on top of that. But like, the end times are here, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, so you better write that book, Wendy.
Great. Okay.
We're almost out of time.
I'm on it. I will just need to get rid of one of my day jobs in order to free up some more space.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, our topic today is the bad bisexual, which is something I think we can all relate to as bisexuals who are bad in various ways, bad at it. I don't know. There's like so many different ways to interpret this.
Yes.
So I was thinking about, like, I think when we came up with this topic, we were thinking specifically about, like, the evil bisexual archetype, yeah. Like, the scheming bisexual. But I think there's, like, a lot of different ways that you can be a bad bisexual, like, endless ways, really.
Yes, well, bad at it, meaning we're not promiscuous enough to be bisexuals. We're not, like...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. And that, like... I feel like that goes both ways, whether people assume you're straight or they assume you're a lesbian. If you are with a person, they don't understand mm-hmm. that you're still bisexual. It's right. like very hard for people to understand.
But then if you are promiscuous, you're the slutty bisexual, which is another right. kind of bad bisexual.
Yes.
Or you can be the disaster bisexual who's just like possibly slutty, definitely a hot mess, like sowing drama and discord wherever they go. There are just so many ways. Like, I don't know, like, how can you be a good bisexual, just have like exactly the same number of male and female partners, but be monogamous and well behaved? Like, what is the answer?
That's a really good question. Perhaps it's like a, you know, a month by month thing. Like, January you're with a lady and then you break up and there's no hard feelings. And then in February, you find a nice boyfriend and you're very in love, but it doesn't work out. No hard feelings again. Then in March.
You have to keep it exactly even, though. You mm-hmm. can't do January and February girl, March boy, because then you're a lesbian. The scales have to be balanced.
But see, that's sounding very like slutty and indecisive to me, Kristen. I don't know.
That's true.
Well, I mean, what? You don't think an entire relationship can run its course in 1 month? I mean... I guess you're moving too fast if it does.
Yeah. Maybe it's like 1 year on, like with a, 1 year with a woman, 1 year with a man. I don't know. What's the like time period?
I think a year might be too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because if it's a whole year, then people are going to assume that you're gay or straight. So yeah. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
what the...
I think more than a couple of sexual encounters with a gender and you've committed to that being that, you know, you've committed. So you're either gay or straight. It just takes a couple.
Maybe only one, who knows?
And then if not, you're indecisive. Yeah, right. I think that's the one that really gets me, is like bisexuals can't decide, like
yeah, it's just and the thing that's kind of like that's really disturbing is that is a pretty common attitude among some members of the queer community.
Yes.
As well, it's not just straight men don't understand, but it's also queer women don't understand. Not all, of course, but it's just, it's very odd the way that keeps coming up even now in 2020. Like, why are we still explaining that, yes, bisexuality is an actual thing?
Mm-hmm. I have actually, like, in recent years been, like, heavily scolded for feeling like I can say anything about being queer or, like, feeling like I have any right to even call myself that at this point after having been married for this long.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I've also been told I can consider myself an ally if I like. If I feel a need to be a part of it.
Fuck off. What? No.
These are things that I've actually been told to me by like colleagues or like random people at parties in the last like, 3 years.
See, there's so many rules and so many ways to piss people off if you're bisexual. It's no wonder yes. so many of us turn evil and scheming. Like, what are we supposed to do?
All you have to do, really, is to say that the words, I am a bisexual, and it just, there you go. You've done it. You've opened this up to discourse and discord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Earlier this year, before all of the things became canceled, I was at a book thing, and I was talking to someone who my paths continue to cross with, and it's quite infuriating. And she was introducing me to someone, and she introduced me as our other lesbian. I said, it's nice to meet you. I identify as queer or bi. And the woman making this introduction, she was like, but you have a partner, don't you? And I said, yes. And she said, and how long have you been together? And I was like so stunned that I just continued in this conversation for some reason. I was like,
that happens to me too.
Almost 10 yeah. years. And she was like, see, you're good. Like, excuse me? This interaction haunts me. Because I was so taken aback that I didn't say, what the fucking fuck? Like, I wish you never, that I had.
It always you're happens good? When you're least expecting it. It yeah. doesn't happen when you've got, like, your comebacks ready. It happens when you're, like, near your aunt and uncle or, like, in right. front of a group of people and you're an introvert and you're not the kind of person who comes up with comebacks on the fly in front of a group of people.
Yeah, it was just, like, you're good. Like, excuse me.
Like, you're qualified. Like, you have a certain number of years, like, experience. So now you're like, qualified as a lesbian.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, it was wild.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, I'm just imagining, like, a resume. Like, I have 10 years experience eating pussy, so I'm a very qualified lesbian.
Right.
And for me, I always feel like I'm a quote-unquote bad bisexual because I've never been in a relationship with a woman. Like, my partner, we've been married for over a decade now, and he is my only serious relationship in my entire life. Like, it yeah. just kind of worked out that way. So sometimes I feel like I'm not qualified, not... like that I don't have the right to talk about queer issues, like you said, because I'm, I don't know, what's the opposite of, let's say, like, the gold star lesbian or gold star gay, if you've only because I'm bisexual, and I knew I was bisexual when I was in high school and I was a virgin, and, you know, like, I just knew that about myself because I was attracted to multiple genders, and that's all it means,
right?
People want to put all of these qualifications and, like, metrics that you have to meet to be a real bisexual, and it's some bullshit.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of strange emails on my author site about this. Like, I had one not long ago where someone said, I just read the third book and I just wanted to know, why did you decide to make Roxanne Weary bisexual at the end of the book? And then I'm like, excuse me? Like, first of all, she's been bi from the beginning of the series. It so happens that in the third book, she's in a relationship with a woman at the beginning and considering a relationship with a man at the end. But that does not mean she's suddenly bisexual. Like, I'll get some comments that are like, as a lesbian reader who really liked what you were doing with the book, I was disappointed that you didn't make the character a lesbian. Like, what is happening?
I still don't understand how they cannot, like, understand. Like, I'm like, did you forget the hot sex in book one with a man? Because right. I right. remember.
Also, the hot sex in book one in the car with a woman. Like, yeah. did you forget any of these things? I don't understand.
I did not.
No, we didn't forget. We'll never forget.
Good.
I feel like part of that is the function of the space you're in. Like, you're in the PI space, which has a slightly older readership. And I've been in that space too. Like, adult crime fiction is a little bit old fashioned. Whereas yeah. it in young adult, now that I have a book coming out in young adult, I'm like, it feels like a breath of fresh air. It's just like, okay. I don't have to be constantly justifying or explaining or hiding right. it on the marketing copy, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what I get for temper is... you know, there are multiple bisexual characters in the book. One of them is the villain. One of them is kind of an asshole and a little bit promiscuous. And I'll get reviews kind of criticizing the bad bisexual stereotypes. And they're so tired of seeing bisexual people only portrayed in this way. And then they'll mention often that the main character, Kira, is bisexual and is slutty. And I'm like, she is straight. She is straight, straight, straight. Like, there is nothing in the book that shows her, like, being attracted to women, in relationships with women, like, absolutely nothing. So it's like they're taking this character who is, like, if Kira were bisexual, she would be the total, like, disaster bisexual stereotype. Like, she is a hot mess. She creates drama everywhere. But she's a straight girl who's doing it. She's a disaster straight.
I guess the question is, can people be a disaster if they are not bisexual? That's a tough question. I mean,
they're not as good at it, honestly.
Definitely not as good at it.
Okay, should we talk about... to be honest, I know that we're supposed to hate the evil bisexual and the disaster bisexual, but there are some characters that I just kind of adore for how evil and disastrous they are. Is that wrong of me to enjoy those characters sometimes, depending on...
Not here, not in this safe space.
No, I think it's fine and good to enjoy them when they're, like done well. It's just like the where I have a problem is there's just so little positive representation mm-hmm. that exists that it's like there isn't like, well, here we can have bisexual people that are across the entire spectrum from good to evil. Like, yep. unfortunately, yep. we don't really have that. It skews nope. very heavily evil, which is like, that sucks, even though like evil people are fun and interesting.
I think that's so. What it is. It's that I kind of can't help but always love the villain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, kind of consider the source too, because I, like, we are allowed to write evil bisexuals or any kind of bisexuals we want. Like, I feel really strongly about that, that we as queer creators, like, we can write any kind of queer character we want, but like a straight dude writing an evil bisexual, I'm going to yes. have a little bit more of a problem with or be a little yes. more critical.
Agree. Like Lisbeth and the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yes.
Right? Like,
oh my God.
I think that character, you know, had potential to have been handled with more nuance, right? And I'm not saying anything bad about that author because I don't know him, and I'm not saying that he was like a bad guy. I'm just saying like he just wasn't equipped, you know, to handle it with enough nuance because it just wasn't, you know.
Well, yeah, and he didn't do the work of like trying to obtain the right knowledge right. and understanding, like. And like mm-hmm. that's his right, and he's dead, so whatever.
I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't want to speak ill of the dead. I'm just yeah. saying that was a good example of a character that, you know, maybe accidentally fell into some tropes that might make some bisexual readers uncomfortable. Like, for example, they did this in Killing Eve too, which bothered me, which is like, you know, she's bi because you see her in a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, stop it. We don't all have threesomes. Not right. every bisexual character person on this earth wants to have group sex. Like,
right. Like, that's a different thing. It's like being bisexual doesn't automatically make you want sex in a group.
All at the same time.
Yeah. With Villanelle, I mean, this is something I thought about in writing Temper as well. Malcolm, the antagonist, is a psychopath, as is Villanelle. And in the research I did on that, I found that people who are psychopaths, they don't really have a sexuality necessarily because yeah. it's all like opportunism, and they're just gonna like be whoever they need to be to manipulate this person. So it's not necessarily like, I never even in the book, Malcolm identifies as bisexual, like he calls himself that, but I almost didn't even think of him as bisexual. I thought of him as he's a psychopath. He's gonna like, if he wants to manipulate a man and seducing them is like the quickest way to do that, then he's going to seduce them. It's not even really yeah. about sex. It's completely about power. And I see that with Villanelle right. too. It's like, she's just very, you know, she wants to enjoy herself, and whoever's there, she's going to enjoy herself with or use in one of her evil schemes, or, you know, it's more the psychopathy. But then that plays into this, like, bisexuals are psychopaths kind of bullshit.
Okay. You know who my favorite one like this is obviously Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yes, I have that on my list too. Actually, I wrote basically everyone in Rocky Horror is right. what's on my list. But yeah, in Rocky Horror, Frankenfurter is like corrupting people. You know, poor Brad and Janet. They kind of want to be corrupted though,
but
I think.
But that's kind
of like,
what the bad bisexual does. The evil yes. bisexual corrupts good people.
Uh-huh. Because they're so sexy and so mm-hmm. irresistible.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. that pan and archetype.
Yeah, that's true. Like the magical mm-hmm. powers of the bad bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an sort of implication that corrupting people who would otherwise be perfectly innocent and, of course, straight, if not for this person who's tempting them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also just that people are freaked out by the idea of being attracted to more than one gender. It just freaks them out. And I don't know where that comes from, but it's like unclean. It has like a, you know, a dirtiness to it that people just. And so I think that's where straight people come up with these characters, because they automatically consider it dirty and overtly sexual and unclean. And so they're not going to just put a bisexual character into like a marriage where they're taking their kids to work or their kids to school and going to work and being a normal person. They're going to put them into these roles where it's like, you corrupted everybody.
It's yeah. like a dimension of their kind of duplicitousness. Like, actually, yes. I don't want to, this is not a critical example because I loved this book and I think mm-hmm. this character is well done, but in Andrea Bart's, her latest book, The Herd, the mysterious woman at the center of it who's like missing, Eleanor Walsh, she is at one point in the book found out to have been bisexual and like in some secret queer relationships. And it's sort of it's like a dimension of the fact that the people around her didn't really know her, that she was like up to all of these things that they weren't aware of, that what she appeared to be publicly was not who she was privately. So it's presented as this dimension of that, not that she's like evil or it's bad that she was in these queer relationships, but that it's like part of the secrets that she was keeping. And I thought that was interesting. That book is really, really great, very smart about female relationships.
Well, I think a lot of time the idea of the duplicitous bisexual, it's like they writers will use the idea of being bi as a stand-in for actual characterization that makes a person seem duplicitous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just sort of like, I always use the phrase lazy shorthand when I'm talking about this at events. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, that character's bi. Look at how depraved they are.
Yeah. See, I mean, I think I do that in my own work in some ways, but then I like really try to explore why they're so depraved and like all of the different, like, cause they are, like a lot of my characters are like, they're bisexual and they are duplicitous and scheming and evil and all this stuff, but it's not just that, like you can't stop at the shorthand. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. It's just like, as you said, if that's the only character in the book or movie, or if it's like the only representation we're having, that's where you run into a problem.
Yeah, or when it's used as like, it's held up as proof as to why you can't trust them. Like,
yes,
this person is bi, so clearly you can't trust them. Like, as if there's something inherently untrustworthy about being bi, which of course there's not. So it's just the representation that we have has been so shitty for so long that those types of examples, I feel like are more obvious to me anyway. When I was coming up with things to talk about in this episode, I was sort of leaning towards characters where it infuriates me that the person is bisexual.
Such as?
Well, the first example I have from the show House of Cards.
Frank Underwood. God. Ugh. And even before like, we knew
truth about even before we knew the truth about Kevin Spacey being a dirtbag. Like, I really liked the early seasons of House of Cards. I thought it was really well done.
Me too.
Like, the first season specifically was, like, so good. Mm-hmm. And then it just, like, it got worse. And then eventually I stopped watching it because it was, like, too on the nose for our current climate. Mm-hmm. But, like, Frank is very much the opportunist. Like, he is a manipulator. He wants what he wants. And I feel like the bisexuality element of his character, it's not explored outside of that. It's just sort of like slapped on. Mm-hmm. As like, he was perfectly like enjoyably watchable as just a devious straight man in the first season. And then mm-hmm. suddenly it's like, oh, by the way, here's a thing to explain it. You know, did not like.
I've only seen a few episodes of that. Maybe even just the first or second. There was like, I don't know, I just got such a bad vibe. Because usually I like scheming characters, right? But I just like could not with him. And now I feel vindicated. I'm like, see, he was terrible.
To be honest, I loved it because I love a good villainous main character. And I'm pretty patient with them. You know, I'm usually pretty like, okay, I'm in it. I want to see where this goes. But yeah, the bisexuality in that, it's not that I minded that character being bisexual. I was actually interested in that. Like, yes, okay. But I was concerned that it was more a part of him being bad and less mm-hmm. a part of like the interesting piece of a famous politician and what that means for having to not be publicly bisexual. Like that I was really mm-hmm. interested in, and like what that might look like and how that might play out. Like, so I felt really torn about it.
Yeah, I think that they didn't explore it in the right way. Like, it was just presented as, this is an element of him being bad. Like, look at how untrustworthy and just messed up he is. Like, whoa, I don't know. Right. So that is one of the examples that I had from TV. And another is, there's this show, it was called The Family. It was on about 4 years ago. It was only on for one season. I'm still mad about it. So it was this show. It had Joan Allen and Andrew McCarthy and Allison Pill in it, and it was about a woman whose son was her son disappeared and was presumed dead like 10 years ago and has been missing for 10 years. And then he, like 10 years later, he's back. What does it all mean and what's going on? And it was a pretty good show for being just like a regular broadcast network show. And it had this character on it, this reporter, who wound up screwing everyone over. She slept with Joan Allen's daughter. She slept with her other kid, not the missing son, but another son that she had. So she's sleeping with these two siblings and then like fucking everyone over. And at the end of the first season, where nothing was resolved on the show, it was like it was supposed to be resolved in the next season, but the next season never happened. But like at the very end of the season, the duplicitous bisexual has been murdered. So it's like that trope as well, the whole like bury your gaze idea of queer characters being murdered after being duplicitous. It was infuriating.
It seems like a kind of punishing that character for yes. being so scheming and bad.
Exactly.
Too,
yes.
Instead of celebrating her as we should. I'm like, she sounds awesome. Let's be friends.
What we're talking about reminds me of this thing where, you know, it's also that thing in fiction where bisexual people cannot be monogamous. Mm-hmm. Or they cannot be faithful, or they cannot just walk the straight and narrow or something. You know what I mean? It's like you have to be, you're always scheming or you're always cheating, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's really not very much representation of someone who identifies as bi but is monogamous in a long-term relationship out there.
Well, because I struggle with this in my own books. Like, how do you, I don't know. It's like if you have a character who's in a relationship, a long-term relationship, and there's not really like sexual drama, there's no cheating, there's no like, that's not really part of the story. Mm-hmm. It starts to feel weird to just like have them come out and say I'm bisexual. It's like it doesn't matter to the story, but then like that's what we were just talking about, this having to come out over and over, right. and like prove that you're actually bisexual. And I think it's different in real life than in fiction, but true, it is still true. Like, I don't know, fictional thing, it is, it's like we only tell as much about the character, like the pertinent details to the story, right? Like, we right. don't need to know about every little thing in their past and all their past relationships and like their favorite color and whatever. Like, we just need to know what's pertinent to the story. And it can start to feel like if their sexuality is not like a key part of the story, it's like, well, why mention it? And it's like, because representation is important. It's important to show
right.
people who are queer, bisexual, in long-term monogamous relationships, and make the statement that like, yes, this person is still queer. Like, that's not up for discussion.
Right.
But it, as a creator, it feels like you're mentioning something that doesn't need to be mentioned. And then you'll get that criticism too. I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah. We can't win, I guess, is the moral here.
And the whole, you know, show don't tell. Okay. So like, how do we show that someone is bi without having them in, you know, in bed with.
What about The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo?
I love that book so much. That's an interesting one.
That was a very nuanced one.
Yes.
That was a really great one.
She's not a bad bisexual. She's like, we love her. But she's sort of, you know, publicly straight, like very prolific in her heterosexuality. Seven husbands, right? And then the relationship with a woman who's kind of the love of her life is going on behind closed doors, because it takes place in Hollywood in like the 50s, and you know, so it wasn't like she could really be out at that time. But yeah, she's a very nuanced and interesting character, because she
do you think that the fact that she's been married so many times speaks to that, like, bisexual people cannot be faithful?
Can't decide. She kept deciding on men. Just
she just couldn't decide between the men.
That's fair.
Marriages were very utilitarian. So
yeah,
it's not the same thing. It's not like she wanted to be faithful, but she couldn't because, well, as we know, the penis must go where it's called, and she calls, and you know what I'm saying?
That's the thing. Straight people are really bad at being faithful. Everybody's bad at being faithful. Like, humans mm-hmm. are bad at it, but bisexuals get this reputation because I guess there's like that many more people that we could cheat with. We're like open to more possibilities or whatever, but like everyone's
right, like,
bad at monogamy.
Like, technically by the numbers, yes, there are more potential people to cheat with, but it's also like people are awful. There's only going to be some that you would even want to cheat with. It's very silly to think, like, being attracted to multiple genders means that, like, it's just, it is a foregone conclusion that you're going to cheat. Like, it's just such a weird idea that is just so deeply entrenched in all of the stories that have existed for ages. So it's, like, really hard to get rid of.
Yeah. I saw this discussion, I mean, I've seen this before, but, like, recently on Twitter, like, it was probably one of those Reddit am I the asshole things, but about, like, a woman saying she didn't want her husband to be friends with other women and that she wasn't friends with other men because, like, you couldn't take sex out of it. And it's like, well, yeah, then if you're bisexual, you just can't have any friends because, like, how would you resist fucking them?
Right.
It's like, I have a lot of friends and there are only a few that I'm attracted to and I can, like, resist fucking them because I'm in a committed monogamous relationship. Like, it's not that complicated.
Right. I don't yeah.
I don't know. You never know when you might snap and it might just all come pouring out.
We'll see. We'll see.
I also wanted to mention, as I was, like, putting together examples and thinking about what the bad bisexual means, I did a quick little Google of bisexual crime fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And of,
did,
like,
you find our three books and that's it?
Of the first, like, whatever, however many results show up on the first page, two of them were pieces written by me. Like, I was like, what? And then I clicked on the, like, the image search and I saw our book covers, all of ours, in, like, the top few rows of the search result. And it's just like, okay, I understand that this is, like, a niche that we are all in, but it's like, how are there not people more famous than us who are doing this?
Because we're gonna be the famous ones. We're fucking trailblazers, Kristen.
That's fine. It's just like, it was like, okay, seriously. It was kind of cool, but also kind of like, oh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, oh, that's cool that we're becoming known for this, but it's ridiculous that there are so few.
Yes.
So other examples, have either of you read the book The Life and Death of Sophie Stark by Anna North?
No.
This is one of my favorite books that I don't even know if it's in print anymore. It's not even that old, but I'm obsessed with it. So it's about this filmmaker, Sophie Stark. She's like this kind of independent auteur kind of filmmaker. And the book is told by her, like, various, most of them are her lovers or, like, business associates. I think one's her brother, like, different people in her life kind of telling stories about her. So you get this portrait of this woman, and she's bisexual, has relationships with both men and women. And we, like, hear from those men and women in these chapters. And this is another example where she's not evil. She's kind of, like, self-obsessed in the way that artists are, but this unknowable, mysterious quality that she has because she's bisexual, like, you know, it's like each of her lovers, they don't really know her. They only know this one side of her. So it's another one where it's like the bisexuality is this dimension of her duplicity and just unknowable, mysterious allure. I don't know. That was kind of the examples I was drawn to where it was this dimension of the character. And actually, like Andrea's book that I mentioned before, I really love The Life and Death of Sophie Stark. I think it's great. And I don't think this character is not like an evil, bad bisexual, but it's used as part of how they define her character.
Well, I think what we're saying is, like, we're not advocating for characters to suddenly be good and heroic and perfect. You know, they could still be, you know, have all kinds of dimensionality to them. We're just suggesting that maybe because a character is bisexual doesn't mean they are these things that we've described.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And also, like, I think you'll see sometimes, especially on like TV shows where there's just like someone they make a casually bisexual and the only characteristic this person seems to have is bisexual. You know, like, there's not really, like, you couldn't describe this person. They don't have a specific personality or worldview other than they're going on dates with men and women, and that's it. And, like, that's not enough because no one is that simple.
Yeah, and it's used as like a shorthand for infidelity or for badness or for sluttiness or for untrustworthiness. Like, the bisexuality is introduced as like something that will flag that character as something like that to the viewer or reader.
Yes.
What about the like famous bisexual, like real people? Because I was thinking of like Miley Cyrus and Lindsay Lohan, and like there are other women who are out bisexuals in Hollywood, but the ones that people talk about a lot are often these women who are really wild party girls out of control, and it's like part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's a good point.
I can't Amber Heard. I don't know if we want to get into that, but
I can't really think of like examples of famous out bisexual people who aren't in that sort of category.
Anna Paquin was the one who came to mind. She's like been married for a long time. And,
oh, interesting.
But people question her bisexuality. Like, I see that a lot where people are like, well, she's not really bi.
God.
Because she's been married to a man and has kids with him.
I hate everyone.
What about Michelle Rodriguez?
She's kind of got that, like, not to the like Lindsay Lohan extent, but I feel like she has that persona of being kind of wild or like rebellious or something. Megan Fox does too, but she's been married for a long time as well. I don't know.
I mean, there's Halsey, but I think she falls in that same category.
She does. I love her. I would like leave my partner for her in a minute. Well, I'm monogamous.
I thought bisexuals were fine at monogamy. Apparently not.
Apparently not. Halsey is the exception. He would understand. He would support me.
What about Frank Ocean? Isn't Frank Ocean bi?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't seem like that hard partying kind of archetype.
No. There's not a lot of out bisexual men in Hollywood. Like, I can barely think of any. Alan Cumming, I guess. Yeah. They tend to get, like, rounded up to gay, especially if they're in relationships with men. So, like, yeah.
That's something I think is interesting, is that, like you said, bisexual men tend to get rounded up to gay, and the bisexual women tend to get rounded down to straight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because everyone wants the penis.
Apparently.
That's exactly right, because the penis is so powerful.
It's so powerful.
That really is. I mean, it's like fucking patriarchy, right? Like, that's all it is. It's like the most desirable partner has to be the man, which is just ridiculous.
Aubrey Plaza, which is a great gift to us all.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. She's great.
Amanda Stenberg.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, a hard partying person at all.
Yeah, I think they're starting to be, I don't know, like as more and more people come out. But every single time an actress comes out, I see the discourse of like, oh, she's just doing this for attention.
Oh my God.
She's not really bi. She just like wants people to think she's like cool and sexy. And so it's almost like it has this connotation of like, oh, she's cool and sexy, but she's trying too hard and she wants attention.
It's interesting. Like, it's cool and sexy, but also like the only in theory, right? Because like in practice, everyone is suspicious and weirded out by the idea. So it's sort of like, I guess men find someone they previously thought was straight, it's cool and sexy if it turns out that this woman is actually bi. But
because then they can have threesomes just like in porn.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
That's it.
But
that's
it doesn't go that way for men. I've always felt really badly for bisexual men because I feel like it's very difficult for them to not get that icky sort of like bisexual men are dirty kind of thing with women. I feel like women are really shitty about it.
That's true. I know. Yeah. I've absolutely seen that. And
like,
I don't get
it. I would never date a guy who would do that. Like, that's a very common way for women to think about bisexuality in men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could you ever be with a man who's always looking at other men? Like, I just think straight women have a real like prejudice against bisexuality in men.
I don't understand that. I've always told Nate that my like main criticism of him as a person is that he's straight. Like, if he was bisexual, he'd be perfect. But he can't help it. You can check out the Men Together. That's the, I don't know. Straight people, they confuse me.
That's it for this episode of Unlikable Female Characters. Don't forget to subscribe, and you can also follow us on Twitter at UnlikableFCPod for updates, book recommendations, and angry feminist rants. Our website is unlikablefemalecharacters.com, and we're also on Instagram at unlikablefemalecharacters. Thanks for listening.